We're going to talk about tefillah. So we're going to look at, we're going to read the beginning of the parsha and ask some questions and try to provide some insights about tefillah. Some message of Moshe Rabbeinu. So it's not going to be an entire shiur about different perspectives. We're not going to exhaust all the range of opinions about how to understand this story, but we're going to go through opinions that relate to tefillah. So we begin the parsha. V'eschanan al Hashem v'eseh hilei mor. So Moshe is saying, I daven to Hashem at that time, saying, Hashem Elokim ata chilos laros adcha v'eskadcha v'esyadcha chazaka asher mikel b'shmai v'aretz asher sekem b'sekem v'sekem Hashem. You began to show your servant your greatness, your outstretched arm. No one's like you, God. You are awesome. Okay, he's buttering God up. Please let me cross at the Jordan River. Please mean the Jordan River, and let me see the good land that's on the other side of Jordan River, the good mountain, and the Lebanon, because he wants to take on Hezbollah. And Hashem got angry at me. Vayisaber from Lord Evra, he got angry because of you. V'lo shamai la, he didn't listen to me. V'yomar Hashem elai, Hashem said to me, Rav lach, it's too much for you. Al tosef, daber elai od b'davar zeh. Don't continue to speak to me about this thing again. Ale rosh ha-piska, go up to the top of the mountain, v'sai necha, and lift up your eyes, yama tzafono v'simrana v'mizracha. West and north and south and east, urei b'necha, ki lo savor, and you can look at it, but you can't cross it. Lo savor seyar did hazeh, okay? And command Yeshua, strengthen him, give him courage. He will cross the Jordan before this people. And he will grant them, he will bequeath to them, or the land, or give them the inheritance that you are seeing. And we were staying in Gai, which is opposite Beis Por. Right, Beis Por is where they did that whole. What was Beis Por? Was poor. With the Midyanim, where they did that horrific sin. Okay? So we have this story where Moshe recalls about how he davened to Hashem. He said, God, please let me cross the Jordan River. And what does God say? Nope. And not only nope, but what else does he say?
Don't stop already.
Stop praying. Stop.
Leave me alone.
Leave me alone. And he says, you can look, but you can't cross. Okay? And Yeshua will cross, and they finish off this mention that they're staying by Beit Peor. So I have a bunch of questions. We'll try to answer some of them. When I read this, now, when God makes a decree that Moshe can't enter the land, does Moshe think he's going to change his mind? Right? In other words, Hashem said, you're not going in. Does Moshe actually think that he could cross? Okay? First question. Number one is, was Moshe's prayer effective at all? Also, why does Hashem seem to be angry and silence Moshe? Vayisaber Hashem bi. Why is he getting angry? Number four is, I'm curious, if you want to go somewhere and then someone says, you can look, but you can't cross. Is that being nice or is that making the person suffer? That's why is Hashem doing this to Moshe? Okay? And why are we mentioning Beit Peor at the end of this section? Okay? And I'm going to try to, all these questions, I'm going to try to give some message about tefillah. So any thoughts about any of my questions? Let's start right away. Do you think that Moshe thought he could change God's mind? When God makes a decree and he says, you can't go, is he not being serious or is he saying?
He's changed his mind before.
Right. He changed his mind before. Okay. Is there anything, I mean, it's an interesting question, right? Now there's when God said the spies, all Bnei Israel will I guess it could be about anything, right? You're going to be in the desert 40 years. You're all going to die. Moshe, he doesn't really pray for them. At what point do we always think there's hope of changing God's mind? Maybe the answer is yes. Is there anything here that maybe Moshe thought maybe situation has changed? Like, you keep on praying until, it's like when we pray, let's say God forbid someone's sick, and we keep on praying, so we don't have a voice from heaven saying this person is sick. Unfortunately, they're going to die. We don't know for sure, right? So we keep on praying. If God says, it's over for the person, are we going to continue praying, right? In other words, I'm saying, so maybe the answer is yes. Maybe the answer is yes. Okay. I just want to point out the So there is an opinion about this. If you look here, and by the way, do you think Moshe's prayer was, can Moshe's prayer be partially, is there a way that maybe Moshe's prayer was partially fulfilled? What does Moshe ask, by the way? What is Moshe? Okay, we'll get to that in a bit. But that's the first thing. First thing. So Rashi says, Ba'esahi. So Moshe prayed at that time. What's at that time? Rashi, what does he say? La'acher shekibashtiha eretz Sichon va'og. Right? After what happened, when does Moshe pray to God specifically? Ba'esahi. So at that time, even though you can say that we can always pray to God, but maybe only it was at that time. So what was it? When did Moshe pray? After what? After what? Sichon va'og.
He's probably using it as a catalyst to say, look, we accomplished this great thing. Maybe if I nudge Hashem a little bit more, maybe...
Right, but look what Rashi says. Dimisi, I thought, Shema Hutru Aneder. Maybe God changed his mind. Maybe the Neder, the promise was undone. Why might you think that his promise might be undone after the conquered Sichon and Og?
Because, like, what else? Maybe he thought, like, what else is there to do now? Or, like, if we're one step closer right. to what we're trying to achieve, and I'm still here... And maybe things are
okay.
Different.
In other words, what?
Because he was leaving at that time.
He was leaving at that time, and what did they conquer? Whatever.
Now that where they are now is part of Eretz Yisrael.
So is it part of Eretz Yisrael?
It's not sort of.
But obviously. Right, exactly. No, it's sort of.
Yeah.
Because why is it sort of?
Because
Reuven, God, and Par Menashe are going to live there. So, like, he's thinking it's not simply like I can pray that, but. Maybe you know, I've been a good boy and God.
Yeah,
right?
For example.
Right. So look at the Midrash HaGadol, right? It's what you say. Ki lozav arsi yardin etzah. Kevin shebikesh kol sam bakashot tchidot. Since Moshe asked all these requests, Omar, he said, Ribono HaOlamim, master of the word, gazarta gzeir alai, shalokinesh lov. I'm sorry. Rashi says that maybe because, like you said, it's like quasi Eretz Yisrael. So maybe he thought that it was annulled. Midrash HaGadol is another explanation. He says, Lo Savar Siyadein. That Moshe, he says, said, O Ribono Shel Olamim, Gezarta Gzeira Alai Shelo Kadesh Shelo Melech. God, he said, you made a decree that I'm not going to go as the king. Shemar Lo Chayn Lo Saviyo HaSakol. You're not going to bring the nation in. Ekadesh Shelo Kehedjot. But Moshe said, maybe I can come in as what? What?
A simple person.
A paid person. In other words, I'm going to be the, what's it called? I'm going to be the King Emeritus. Does that work, King Emeritus? You have like the President Emeritus, the Chair of the Board Emeritus.
So he'll just retire.
King Emeritus, right. Mm-hmm. So he's going to be retired. Right. Amar lo, Enam Achnis Lekhejot. God says, no, it doesn't work. So Amar lo, Father Ribodi, Kalum Nigzerak Zerash, Ela Shalok Kadeshla, Lo Mech Lekhejot. Okay, they made a decree. I'm not going to enter as a king and not as a simple person, a commoner. Ekadeh Sabim Chila. Shelikastrin Shetachas Pamus. He said, maybe I can go like in the tunnels, like under this palace. So I can tunnel in. Amalo, Vishamalo Tavo. You can't go in. Amaribona, Nigzer Gzera, Shelokadesh Lomelach. Moshe is like really being a lamdan. He's like, he said this, I can't do this. Okay, he said, I can't go in I can't go in as a king, I can't go in as a commoner, I can't tunnel in. So imamus yavu asmayas yerdei. Maybe they can bring my body, my bones, in, across the Jordan River. At least can be buried there, right? A lot of people do that, right? Nowadays, people buy graves in Eretz Yisrael. They want to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. So Moshe also probably wasn't as expensive as it is now to bury in Eretz Yisrael. So Amar lo, Hashem said, lo savar sheyerdei zeh. He says, you're not going to cross the Jordan River. Chimeis yachol avor elakach amar lo ach atmosaych liyavu asyerdei. So. Your bones can't enter the Jordan River. So we have sort of two explanations. So one is that maybe Ba'es Hahi, after conquering Sichon and Og, we conquered Greater Israel. What's Greater Israel? You have Greater Israel is not Yehuda and Shomron. That's Israel. Greater Israel is on the eastern side of the Jordan River, right? Modern day Jordan. That's where Reuven, God, and Par Menashe were there. Maybe once Moshe conquered that, maybe the Neder has been annulled. So he asked God again. At least according to Midrash HaGadol, God just said you can't bring. You can't go as, you can't be a leader. Moshe wanted to be a commoner, and God says no. Okay, so were his prayers partially answered? So maybe, right? Because what does Moshe ask? Look in Pasuk Chafei. What does Moshe ask in his prayer?
Very innocent.
Right. So let me cross, and let me see. So what did God do?
He
did half. So Rashi actually says, right, Bikash the Mimendi, Vares Atzar Tova, and I'll see this good lad. Ani Mora, Larav, Lacha, sorry, Lacha, there's a basis, probably Sifti Chavin, Lacha, Eskula, I'm going to show you all of it. Shenevar, Vares, 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 Kol Haaretz. You showed him the whole lad. So what it means is sometimes, so message number one, sometimes we daven, and we don't get everything we want, but sometimes we get part of what we want. So Moshe, at least according to this, that seeing it was something for Moshe. Okay? Something for Moshe. Question is, what is this lashon of Rav Lach? Rav Lach. You have a lot. Why is God saying you have a lot? Okay? So there are a lot of explanations, but again, I'm focusing on tefillah. So I'm going to show you a couple of explanations that relate to tefillah. So number one, we said massive tefillah is, sometimes Hashem doesn't give you everything, gives you part of it. That's why Rashi understands Moshe wants to cross and see, and Hashem lets him see. But now, look at this. Rav Lach, Al Tosef Davar. So why does Hashem use the lashon of Rav Lach? At least according to the Midrash Agadah, Lefi Shamar Rav Lachem B'nei Levi, Ne'amar Lo Rav Lach. What does he say? What's Midrash Agadah say? Lefi Shamar, because Moshe said Rav Lachem B'nei Levi. Who did he say that to?
Korach.
So what's he saying? Because you, Hashem is using language that Moshe used to Korach. What's he saying here? Is he saying, was it good what he said? Not good what he said?
Well, Moshe said, Rav Lachem B'nei Levi, you have a lot.
What
do you need more for?
What do you need more for? Right. So Hashem's saying, oh, you have a lot. In other words,
you accomplished a lot.
What? So he's telling Korach, you accomplished a lot? Could be.
Maybe that, saying, like, by virtue of the fact that Moshe used that in the context of trying to quash a rebellion, that in the similar way that Hashem, quoting what Moshe said in regards to Korach, he's trying to say it's like, what you're doing right now is kind of crossing a line.
Right, or maybe...
It's hypocritical.
What?
It's hypocritical. Don't be greedy also.
Don't be greedy, or maybe I like to look a little differently.
He's criticizing him for having
right. I look at it like that. I think there are different ways you could read this. I read it like the way Mark's reading it. I'm not saying it's not like how you're. I think there's also, I think that, like, if you want Hashem to be compassionate with you, you have to be compassionate with others. In other words, could be that, you know, if someone asks for something. And you just say, yeah, you have enough. You have enough. You don't need any more. Sometimes, like, we're not, like, from our perspective, right, we think, you know, I'm sure we've had this a lot. Like, someone wants something from you, and you say, why do you need this? But we don't, they have a certain perspective that we don't have. In other words, we're not sort of putting ourselves, being impacted. We may not be able to give them what they have. We're not able to give them what they want. But we're like, why do you need this? It seems to me that the Midrash Haggadah is criticizing Moshe. Moshe is saying, Rav Lach, Moshe is saying, Rav Lach HaBnei Levi, you have enough. Why do you need this? It's very harsh. It's very terse. So Hashem is reminding Moshe that maybe if you want Hashem to be compassionate with you, maybe you need to be compassionate with others, even those who oppose you. In other words, it's also, so that's sort of one take on that. Another take on that, and maybe related to that also, and I'll tell you why I'm thinking about that, because there's Rashi also says, Vayisa ber Hashem, by the way, it's interesting, the language, right? Pasuk Chaf Hei says, Ebra, no, let me cross. And Vayisa Be'er means Hashem was cross. Hashem was not, the different thing cross. Hashem was angry. Same lashon, Ayin Beis Reis. Nismalechim, Hashem was angry. Lemanchem, Bishvilchem, because of you. Atem, Geramtem, right? Sorry. So he says what? He says that Atem Geramtem, you caused this to me. V'cheinu omer
v'yat. He's not taking responsibility.
He's not taking responsibility. Right. So that's an interesting question. Like, why is Moshe butting that? But he's saying, so that's a take unto itself, right? In other words, there's a whole reading, by the way, Rabbi Chaim Angel, it's not our shir, but Rabbi Chaim Angel says that one of the reasons perhaps why Moshe actually may never have taken responsibility for the Chayt of Mei Meriva, because this is like an example. He says, because of you. So that's definitely one way of reading it.
For the water.
Yeah.
At the same time, he didn't.
Right.
He didn't want
that. So here, Moshe is saying, Vayisaber Hashem lemanchem, you caused this to me. Chayinom or b'yakzifal Mei Meriva v'yera the Moshe b'avaram. So this, you could also read this as Moshe got, that basically Moshe got angry when they wanted water, right? So Moshe got angry. You can read it like this. Vayisaber Hashem lemanchem v'lo shamay lai. Hashem got angry at me because of the rock. In other words, I got angry, so now Hashem's getting angry at me. In other words, what I'm suggesting is, maybe in this pasuk, Moshe's referencing, like Moshe's part of this is giving message to the people. He's explaining perhaps why Hashem does not uses this language and he gets angry at Moshe. He's sort of doing tit for tat. He's sort of saying, or quid pro quo. In other words, Moshe got angry at the Bnei Yisrael when they wanted something, when they asked, when they were needy. So Hashem's going to get angry at him when he's needy. Mm-hmm. Moshe turns to Korach and says very tersely, why do you need this? So Hashem's going to be terse with him. In other words, and what I'm suggesting is maybe the way that we relate to others could be the way that Hashem relates to us. Okay? Now, as we want Hashem to, you know, we talk about Mida Keneged Mida, we want Hashem to answer us favorably, we want Hashem to take compassion with us and to take our requests seriously, so how do we treat other people, you know, when they have these requests? So Moshe gets angry at Bnei Yisrael when they want water. Moshe is very terse with the children, with Korach, when they want, you know, when he wants, again, even if he's wrong. So that could be. So again, message number one about tefillah, some of the same answers part of our prayers. Message number two, maybe some of the Farshim are saying that how we are to other people, that may be how Hashem is to us. But there's a positive spin on this. So Rashi has another explanation. Davar Acher, another explanation. Rav Lach, Harbe Mizeh, the tough is wrong. It's supposed to be a small tough. Harbe Mizeh Shamur Lach. Don't worry, Moshe, you have a lot. Rav Tov Tuva Hatzafalach. There's a lot that's hidden for you. Well, don't worry about it. Now, as you can look at Rav Lach, he's being terse, negative. Or you can look at it as if Hashem says, you're not getting this, but don't worry, Moshe, you're getting a lot. You're getting a lot. Sometimes, and you know what? It's hidden. It's hidden for you. What's hidden? Why is it hidden? What's hidden? So he says, Hashem is saying, I know you're not going to cross. I know you're not going to be buried in Eretz Yisrael, but there's a good reason you don't always know. What's the reason? Or Chaim, what was one of my questions? What's this last pasuk Chav Tes? Vaneshev Bagai Mos Beis Por. Why are you telling you this, that we were by Beit Por? In the same section. So the beautiful Or Chaim HaKadosh, that's what he says. Vaneshev Bagai. Tzarech Ladas. We need to know. Kavaros Akasu Ma Ba Lo Diyav Mamarzeh. Why does the Torah tell us about him being in this by outside Beit Por? Ma Kesha Yeshlo. What connection does it have? This Lo Imash Elafara Ma Imash Elachar. There's no connection between them being by Beit Por. It's not connected to the story before or afterwards. For Baseidu Zal B'Sifrei Yashvu Akasuv Beviu Rashi Zal. So the Sifrei has a position, Rashi is brought down. Devarim Zal, Lo Nis Yashiv, Kavaros Namro, Vaneshev, Kevin Shloba, Elo Dia Masse Por. The only purpose is to tell you the story of Por. Gam Ma'amar, Mul Beis Por, also the fact that it was opposite Beit Por, Ein La Mashma'ut, there's no meaning, Im La Ba Kasav, Elo Laskir, Avodat Por. The whole purpose, we were out opposite Beit Por. The only thing that we know about Beit Por was the, it's not the, the worship, the Avodah Zarah. Hayol Omar Vatit Samel LeBeit Por. Moshe wanted to tell them. Moshe wanted to tell them, oh yeah, we were in the place where you worship Beit Por. It should have said that. We were staying in the place where you worship this. He doesn't mention that. Venira. This last pasuk is connected with the beginning of the parsha. That Moshe, through his prayer, it was not sufficient to cross the Jordan River. What does it mean we stay there? We're going to stay there forever. Beneshev, va'omro bagai lefisha Eretz Yisrael gavo mikol haratzos. What's it bagai? Because Eretz Yisrael is higher than all the lands. Yechsev aluze benegev. Va'omro Beit Por remez echa mitame kfuras hasham. So he's hinting that Moshe's going to be buried there. Beneshev, Moshe's hinting that we're going to be there. What's we're going to be there? I'm going to be there forever. Why is Moshe Rabbeinu going to be buried by Beis Peor?
To balance out the disgusting nature.
Kedei sheyia mul avon Peor, so he can be outside the sin of Peor. Leval yarim rosh lekatreg al Yisrael, so that the prosecuting attorney, whatever, it won't be viewed negatively about. Imagine if they Bnei Yisrael, they're hanging out and they come here to visit, right? They're going. It's Benaz Manim, and they're going to tour Eretz Yisrael, and they go to this area by Beit Por. What are they going to remember? Oh, this is where we sin, and we're so bad, and we're so evil. But what's going to happen? Instead, they're going to go? Oh, you know who's buried here? Moshe Rabbeinu. In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu specifically, you think he wasn't? He couldn't bury in Eretz Yisrael. But you know what? He was buried. Sort of like a little different, you know. Rachel, she wasn't buried in Beit Lechem, but she was buried in a place according to the Midrash. So when the exiles are traveling, as it were, she could cry for them. In other words, sometimes we're not, even when we're dead, we're not buried in the place where we want to, but there could be a purpose. So what the Or Chaim wants to point out is that Moshe Rabbeinu was buried in a place that was critical for the well-being, the mental health of Klal Yisrael. In other words, when Bnei Yisrael travel there, they wouldn't think they're not worthy. Rather, they would say Moshe is davening for them. This is the place of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe is a Melech Yosha, as if, okay? The Moshe, as if, is davening for them. In other words, now there, and that could be why Rashi is saying, explaining when Hashem says to Moshe, Rav Lach. You know what? There's a lot that's hidden for you. In other words, you didn't get what you want, but you got to look at there's a bigger picture. There's a bigger picture. So message number three, right? We got message number one of tefillah is that sometimes we don't get everything, but we might get part of it. Moshe got part of it. He got to see. Message number two, maybe the message that Moshe is giving to Klal Yisrael is the way that I relate to others might be the way that Hashem relates to me. Hashem got angry at me because I got angry when the Bnei Yisrael wants something, right? Shem used terse language, because I used terse language with Korach. Message number three is that sometimes, even when we daven, Hashem gives us something, and we don't realize it, but Hashem is aware of the bigger picture, and that's this idea of Baal Peor. Moshe's there, you know, so that the Bnei Yisrael don't feel unworthy when they come visit the site. Moshe's there. Moshe's praying for them, or at the very least. They think, oh, Moshe prayed not about their sin. Last message of tefillah. Found four messages. Last message of tefillah. So in the beginning, in the beginning of Pasuk Chav Dalet, Moshe opens up, right? He says, Moshe butters up Hashem. You're awesome. You're awesome, God. So by the way, the Gemara uses this to say that before you pray, you praise. Right? In other words, before you ask for something, you should say, God, you're awesome. And then you ask for something. Where do we find this in davening? Two potential places.
Shemon Esrei.
So either Shemon Esrei, we have Shevach before Bakasha. The first three brachos are praise, and then we ask for things. Where else do we find this in davening? That we praise before we pray. It's also used for this. Psukkah de Zimra. Some use this in search for Psukkah de Zimra. Psukkah de Zimra is, if you think about it, right? Psukkah de Zimra, we're praising Hashem, and then we're Shmon Esrei, we're davening. Big picture, tefillah is fundamentally davening. And then we have Shema in the middle. We're doing a pledge of leading before we ask for things. And that's it. But basically, we ask for tefillah. We ask for our needs. Okay, we do a pledge of leading before we ask for our needs. Shema, okay? But then we praise before we pray. Okay. But the Sifrei has another take on this. Tachilosa. So this is Moshe's hidden rebuke here. He says, Ata pitachta li petach. You opened for me an opening. She'emod bet palel afanecha banecha b'sha she'sarchu b'masei ega. You opened up. You said, "Watch." So Moshe is telling, "I prayed to Hashem that time, saying, God, you opened up to me to pray to you." V'chi Moshe tafus haya bekadesh elakachem barlefan. This is what Moshe said. Ribono shel olam, ata pitachta li petach shemod v'etpalel banecha v'matvi v'palati aleihem v'shemata tefilati v'salat l'banam. So Moshe says, Atachilosa, you did an opening for me that I stood and I davened for your children at the Egel. Hayisi Sover, I thought, Shani Mohem Batfila, I thought that I'm with them in Tfila. Vehem Lohipalu Alai, they didn't daven for me. Valo Devarn Kavachomer, should be a Kavachomer, should be like a fortiori, should be certainly. If the prayer of one, I mean, it's Moshe Rabbeinu, but the prayer of one on the masses is listened to. Tefillas Rabbeinu al Yachid al Chas Kama Kama. The prayer of the mass individual, certainly. In other words, what Moshe is saying, when Moshe opens up and he says, and I prayed to God at this time, and I said, God, you know, you opened, you provided an opening for me to pray, and I did pray. But he's saying, he's sort of hinting at, God, you always provide an opening. You always provide an opening. And he's sort of hinting at the fact that God, when you make a decree, you provide an opening. And it's not just, like that's what you were saying at the beginning, Hashem always provides an opening, but it's not just always an opening for that person to pray, it's for other people to pray also. So what Moshe's hinting is that God, you know, you provide an opening for me by the Egel, and I prayed for Bnei Yisrael. And Moshe is feeling a little bad. He's saying, I prayed. I was the only one who prayed. You didn't pray for me. So I think that sometimes, it's interesting, that sometimes maybe tefillah is an expression of compassion, and it's hurtful when we don't pray for a friend in need. You know, it's interesting, like prayer, sometimes, you know, sometimes they have these Tehillim groups, right? So like, you know, sometimes, whether you're into it or you're not into them, but sometimes it helps. It's tefillah. It's also an expression of compassion. So I'm just saying that Sifrei points out that Moshe is feeling a little hurt here, that they didn't pray for him. It's like, you pray for the girl, like, who am I to pray for her? You know, when Moshe fights, he's ill. Who am I to pray for him? Like, who am I? No, the answer is yes. The answer is yes. The answer is that, I mean, they didn't know, but Moshe is sort of saying that, like, prayer is an expression of compassion. Moshe is going through this whole thing, and I prayed, I asked God. But you know, he says that God, you open up, atachilosa, that you sometimes provide an opening for me to pray. So like, he's saying, and he doesn't criticize them directly, but he's hinting at them that the Bnei Yisrael didn't pray. So four lessons of tefillah from this opening paragraph. Lesson number one, sometimes tefillah is partially answered, right? Moshe asked for both. He asked to go and to see. Hashem gave him to see. Sometimes we don't get everything. Sometimes prayer is an opportunity for us to think about how we could be more compassionate about others. When we're asking God for something, sometimes we have to think about how we could have been, just like we want God to be compassionate with us. Prayer is sometimes an opportunity for us to think about how we could have been compassionate to other people when they wanted things. Number three, sometimes prayer is answered in a hidden way, think of the big picture. And number four, that sometimes the purpose of prayer is an expression of compassion, and it's sometimes hurtful when we don't pray for someone. Sometimes, just to tell someone I'm praying for you, it makes all the difference. We don't sometimes realize that. There are many people who are like, you know, they're onto this whole thing of praying for other people. They're not so into it. And many people, when they've been in that situation, and like they had someone, whether they're a child or a parent or something, they're not the biggest prayers. They're like more. When they've been in that situation and people prayed for them, all of a sudden people get more spiritual, but they also feel like they feel a tremendous sense of gratitude. So like if you have the opportunity to like say, you know, even if you have the opportunity at times when someone needs a tefillah and someone's going through a difficult time, and it's even like uncomfortable, it's not your thing, say, you know, I'll say tefillah for you, I'm going to pray for you. Even if it's not your speed, it's not only a tefillah, but it's an expression of compassion for them. And I think Moshe Rabbeinu is like hurt a little bit here that it is not. So these are different four tefillah lessons from the beginning of this week's parsha.